To share in this live meeting, and we thank the Lord for the anointing, the unction of the Spirit that He has set in the body of Christ to teach us not the mere dead letter of the word, but to teach us by the Spirit, because that is how faith comes, by hearing that word. And this evening I'm calling this teaching, God Will Guard Your Heart and Mind. God will guard your heart and mind. And we're going to base our teaching this evening on two scriptures found in Philippians chapter 4, the book of Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to look at verses 6 and 7 of Philippians chapter 4. And here it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And here, I believe, is the secret to be found of having the peace of God in your life, in your heart, and in your mind. And the reason for this is, as we know, that much of our battles and onslaughts are indeed in man's mind. And in fact, the victory is either won or lost within the mind. There is a battle in the last days for man's mind. And the enemy is out to try and deceive and to trick man's mind and to control his mind. But of course, through the new birth, we are blessed with the mind of Christ, a new mind. But like all minds that have been subject to sin, unbelief, corruption, until we come to Christ, then we find that there is a work. There is a deliverance. And in many ways, we've said this before, but we will say it again in passing, the mind is really like a computer. If you put wrong information in a computer, that wrong information will eventually come out until it's changed. And in many ways, it's the same with us. Our minds have to be changed. It has to be renewed. And the Holy Spirit has to work on man's mind, because as he works on man's mind, so he works within the heart, because the heart and the mind are connected. The scriptures tell us, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You are the sum total of your thinking, your mind. So there's a great, great work the Holy Spirit is doing in changing these minds, and he does this, of course, through the Word of God, through teaching, through the preaching of the Word, as we take in this Word, so God is working also on our minds, as well as our hearts. And we all know that we battle in the area of the mind, and the enemy is always at times trying to suggest things, and we know that wrong attitudes very often are open doors to the mind. So there's a huge work that God is doing, and we find that psychiatry tries to do its best in this area with those who are afflicted, but it can't go very far. Only God can change man's mind and make it after the mind of Jesus Christ. And this is why we come regularly to listen to the Word of God. This is why God sets the gifts in the body and the teaching ministries of the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, who are anointed with the unction of the Spirit, so that when you receive the Word of God, you are receiving it by the Spirit to the Spirit of man, because his Spirit is made new by the new birth. That is why Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice and they follow me." They know that voice. They know the Holy Spirit. They know God's presence as he continues to teach us. And with all of that, God has promised that he will guard our hearts and our minds, as we're going to look at here tonight, because if he doesn't do that, none of us stand a chance. In fact, God is our guard, he's our protector, our shield, everything. We've only got to read Psalm 91 to see all of that. But here is the secret of the peace of God, and much of our battles are won or lost, as I've just said, with the mind. Now the question is, how can my mind remain focused on God, particularly in time of trial? Because it is our trials that show us where we are in the faith. It's our trials that indicate whether our minds are being renewed. It's a trial that shows us where our mind is, our thinking, our attitudes. And so, if we look at this, he says in verse 6, "Be anxious for nothing." So he says quite clearly here, be absolutely anxious for nothing. Whatever you go through, whatever the trial, whatever it looks like, whatever the report, whatever's being said, he says, be anxious for nothing. And of course, we know that also in Matthew 6:25, he tells us that as well, and we recite that many, many times. What does it say in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7? In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, he says here, "Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you." In other words, it means cares, anxieties, concerns. But we get the key to this, don't we, in verse 6. "Therefore humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." So we see that there is a humbling before God, there is a bowing before God, and that is all connected with him dealing and guarding the mind. In fact, I would go so far to say that minds that are really oppressed with anxieties and fears and phobias, generally connected with that is also pride. There's still not that willingness to bow the knee, to abase oneself in the presence of Almighty God, because he says that he will exalt you in due time. Casting all those cares upon him, for he cares for you. And he goes on to being about sober and vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking those whom he may devour. So all of this is in the context of spiritual warfare. All of this, he's saying, is because of the enemy. I tell you this because of the enemy. He goes around like a roaring lion, and he roars, and he makes a lot of noise. And if there's fear and anxiety in you, you will always be subject, you will always listen to that roar. That's what it will do. This is why he's saying it's so important for us to get delivered from this. Because in our deliverance, we no longer take any notice of those roars of the enemy. How he's trying to blow things out of proportion. And we only have to see that in society. We only have to hear that on the news or read it in the papers or even in your own family and siblings. How that they get so worked up over trivial things because they're subject, they're held by the enemy and they listen to his roars. But we as overcomers should be getting delivered from this. That's the whole question. And here in 1 Peter chapter 5, he shows us how we get delivered from this. If indeed we want to be, that's the question. So going back to Philippians, again looking back in verse 6, so he says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. So we find that with regard to getting free, particularly in our trials, from anxiety, fears, unbelief, he says prayer, supplication also goes hand in hand with it. So he says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything. And he means everything. Everything that concerns, everything that you know, everything that you are aware of, or going through, whatever it is, bring it out before God in prayer and supplication. Hold nothing back to what you know or understand in whatever situation you may find yourself. And of course, he means here, when he means to supplicate, it means to make petition. It means to be praying in humility, humbleness before God, being aware of God, of his greatness, his holiness, his sovereignty. In other words, it's not being flippant, just a quick 5-minute prayer or whatever it will be. No, it's taking prayer seriously in the context of what it's talking here about. And then not only that, but here is a very, very important part. He says, in everything by prayer and supplication, and it doesn't stop there, with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. So he also says that with thanksgiving is absolutely important in the context of what we're looking at. So with thanksgiving, in our trials, our weaknesses, we can so often become selfish and inward looking. This is why God very often allows us to go through trials and tests, because he's actually freeing us up, he's delivering us from self as he works the cross, as we take it also daily and follow him. And he says, with thanksgiving, because I'll tell you why, when you're going through a trial or you're battling fear, anxiety, confusion, or whatever it would be the enemy's throwing on you, our weaknesses are so often in trial we become selfish, we can become self-centered, and in that we become unthankful. Christians who are unthankful are very often self-centered. They're more interested in themselves or what they're going through or how much it's hurting or whatever it would be. And that is again the very thing he is delivering us from, because to be self-centered, to be selfish, will hold on also to those fears and anxieties, which are the very things that he says in verse 6 that we're not to be. Be anxious for nothing, but those who are held in self, self-centered, will also be held in fear and anxiety and confusion and all those things that go with it. So we see a tremendous way that God is actually delivering us. And one of the wonderful ways of getting this deliverance is to have a thankful heart before God. Because a Christian who has a thankful heart before God is free also to worship God and doesn't find worshiping God a problem, or find it hard to worship. You know, we have believers at times who are oppressed in worship. They even have a job to lift hands in his presence, or to clap in his presence, or to sing and get excited in worship. And I tell you why, because they're held in self-centeredness, and that self-centeredness keeps them in anxiety and fear. And the enemy's got you. He knows exactly how to do it. He knows how to try and keep you unthankful before God. And I believe this is a huge problem in Christendom. How do I know it's a huge problem in Christendom? Because they're trying to pump up worship today. And they're doing it in the form of entertainment. It's soulish, it's fleshly, it's sensual. And these are all clear signs that Christians are not really thankful for God. They're self-centered and they're held in fear and anxiety. And that's why most of Christendom doesn't move on into maturity, into sonship. Never moves on from speaking in tongues, failing to see that there is a deeper life, a deeper walk that you can go on as far as you want. Most never move on. And these are some of the big problems why they don't move on. Very simple, really. And yet it's so profound. What does it say in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. And here he says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. What is the will of God? To give thanks. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Even the trials that you go through, you don't thank God for them, but you thank God for the trial that you're going through and what you're learning in that trial. Don't ever thank God for the trial, because a lot of those trials are probably permitted and allowed by the enemy to buffet you. But you thank God in the trial, what you're learning, what he's showing you, how he's delivering you, and changing and working on your mind and heart and spirit. That is what the trials are for. But God fundamentally is getting believers to have these thankful hearts. And when you have a thankful heart, as we're seeing here in verse 6, so you begin to get delivered from these fears and anxieties that still attack the mind. And not only that, it makes you thankful and open up to praise and worship God. And not only that, but to enjoy God's presence when you come with other believers to praise and worship him. And it is not a drudge. You see very clearly that it's quite simple, really. And so, looking back here, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And you can, If you meet those conditions, you can bring your requests before God, knowing that God has heard you. Isn't that wonderful? To be able to get up from prayer and know that your Heavenly Father has heard you, because you've met the conditions. I'm reminded of the story of Daniel, in Daniel chapter 6. And the story is in 6 where they were trying to set up a plot against Daniel. There was a request put out to King Darius, I think for about 30 days, that he's the only king, he's the only God, and everything will worship him, and everything will be recognized and honored to him. And they're setting up this plot because they know that Daniel is a righteous man, and they're trying to catch him out. And in verse 10, I think it is, yes, in verse 10, "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home, and in his upper room, and with his windows open towards Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days." So he knew that that decree had gone out. He knew that he could not bow the knee to Darius. And he went and he sought the Lord. And it says that he sought him 3 times a day. That was his custom. And he gives thanks to God. And that giving thanks to God saved him when he was placed in the lion's den. Because that's where he was put. And he was kept and preserved. Can I suggest that thanksgiving, praise and worship from your lips is a great preservation to each of us? It's so simple at times, this is why we miss it. So this anxiety, this fear, worry, concern will start to go, because you're in prayer, you're in supplication, you're in humility before God, and not only that, you're thanking him, you're praising him. You're praising God for the way he brought you out the last trial a few weeks ago, or how he blessed you with something. There's just so much that we can thank and praise God for. And yet we find so often we don't. But it goes on, doesn't it, in verse 7. "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." And this is where we're calling this teaching today, that God will guard your heart and your mind. This is what he's promising here. This is absolutely tremendous, because you see, faith to work needs these conditions. If we want a strong faith, and a faith that will move mountains, when God asks us to pray, asks us to believe him, then faith to work needs these conditions. And it needs the power of God to guard your heart and your mind. Because if he doesn't do this, you're going to be still subject and open to fears, anxieties, and you're going to be fearful every time the lion, the devil, roars. So he's promised that he will guard our minds and our hearts. And this is vital for this faith walk. It's vital for the parable of the sower. If we're fearful and anxious, and we're not giving thanks to God, then I'm not sure we're going to be able to even hear this word properly tonight. We may be only hearing it partially. It may only just doing a very small work in my heart, because I'm not actually meeting these conditions. God wants to free you and I up, so that the seed of this word is sown into our hearts. We need to get rid of all the problems that still hinder us and still hinder our minds from receiving this word. And this is why I say so often, before you come online or you come to the meetings, get in prayer, get in the spirit, get your hearts ready for when you come together for God's presence. It is that vital. You cannot just rely on the pastor. You cannot just rely on a few in a meeting. Every one of us plays a vital part. And it is important how you come into God's presence. That we come with the right heart and spirit. The Bible says that we're not to quench the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can be quenched so easily. When we're to come in that true unity and oneness and fellowship, because all of that is very dependent on how we're hearing God and hearing His word. It is important, brothers and sisters. And we see with this what God is doing, that it passes all understanding. So the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. So it's difficult really to try and understand this, and yet God says this is precisely what He's doing and will do. What does it say in John 14 and verse 27? John 14 and verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That is the peace, what He spoke there Himself, Him personally, ministered to us by the Holy Spirit. That is what He's come back to us, even tonight, even this time while I'm preaching. That is Him there wanting to do that in your life, in your heart. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. You cannot find this, He says, in the world. You cannot find it in that new job or that new pair of shoes you're looking for, or that new car you want. They're all things we can have. They don't give you peace. He says, I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Here we are, this fear, this anxiety. I am with you. Don't be afraid. That is what He's saying here. He says you can't find this in the world. You can only find it in relationship with me. That's precisely what He's saying. And so because He says this, He says He will do this, this is why so often it passes our understanding. This peace that He gives us actually passes our understanding. It's very hard to actually understand it. But we believe it's there. He's doing it. He's working it. Because most of what God does passes our understanding. In fact, almost everything passes our understanding with regard to how God works. Let's look at some areas that passes our understanding with how God works with us. Let's take, for example, the first one, the new birth. Try and understand or analyze or work out the new birth. You can't. Jesus said you have to be born again in which to enter the kingdom of heaven. I don't know how He does it, but I know that He does, and I know that that change comes as a result of us as we confess our sin before Him and we allow the blood of Jesus to cast that sin and deal with it and cast it away as far as the east is to the west. I don't know how he does it, but he does it. And so often it passes understanding. Baptized in the Holy Spirit. How do we understand this? How does he do it? Well, we see by the scriptures, yes, he baptizes us in the power of the Holy Spirit, but we still don't really know how it's actually done. But we know that it's done. Speaking in tongues. He baptizes us in the Holy Spirit and the evidence of speaking in new tongues. And those new languages come out. How is it done? I don't know. I do know this, that it just bypasses the mind, man's thinking to try and work out. There's a good example. We don't understand these things, and we try desperately to, and you never will. How about the Word? How is it we know that this is the Word of God? How do we know that this Word is true from Genesis to Revelation? Not one jot, not one tittle of this Word is a lie. How do we know? Well, we don't understand. But all I know is, we know. I know. Because faith comes by hearing the Word of God. And I don't know anymore. And yet here we are, we've got books, theologians, all trying to understand how the Holy Spirit works, how it is you know and everything, getting more and more confused and so on. We don't know, but we know that he changes us. We know that he's in our lives. And yet it still passes understanding. And there's a reason why God does all of this, because he doesn't want man's mind and understanding in the way. He will just foul it up. How can we know God in that sense? There's no beginning and no end. And yet here he comes to us through the Holy Spirit, Jesus, into our lives. And we receive it on the basis of a simple, childlike faith, just simply believing. And that's all he asks. And on that, he will build your life in Christ Jesus. Only God can do that. Man would foul it up. How do we understand he's renewing our minds? Well, it's deep. We just know that he's doing that tonight. Because he says this is what he does. He's doing it. How do we love? Love so often passes understanding. How does love go that extra mile? How does love within us love the unlovable? How does love express mercy, grace, forgiveness, and so on? I don't know, but it does, because it's God's heart. How do we do these acts of faith? Again, we don't know, but we do, because faith comes by hearing the Word of God, we're told. And it's so that we act our faith. We live our faith. Because by doing that, that is how you know they are Christian. By the fruit you will know them. Because our faith works by love. How about healing and deliverance? How is this done, achieved? I don't know. I don't understand. But the power of God can heal and deliver and change and do all and more that he does. We're not to try and analyze or work it out. Because the more we try to, the less we're going to understand. Many people who put their hands up in despair and say, I don't understand, you know, almost frustrated or angry, because God is trying to bring you to your senses to show you never will understand. So stop trying to. Because you receive everything by the Spirit, by revelation. That's the whole point. How does God work in our wills? How does he get us to obey when that's the very last thing that we ever often want to do? I don't know, but I know that he will, and he does, because he says so in his word. How are mountains removed from our life? These obstacles, these giants that oppose us. I don't know, but our faith says they will. We're not to try and work it out or try and understand, because that is where confusion comes. And when the enemy tries to get in with confusion, then he tries to get in with depression, anger, anxiety, and all those things that sadly so many believers are gripped by. He's trying to deliver us. How does he work humility in us? How does he get us to bow our knees in his presence and to keep in that attitude? I don't know. I don't understand. But I know that he does, and he will. That's the whole point. So going back here, he says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. In other words, what he says there, I become your guard. I am your guard. I give an angel's charge over your mind, your heart, your spirit. And no demon can come near on that. It's guarded. Isn't that wonderful? That God guards our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. Isn't it interesting that anything in this world which is of value or great value is always guarded in some way or form? Well, God does exactly the same. You are so precious in his sight. You are of such value that you can't even put a price on your life in Christ Jesus, and therefore he's going to set a guard over that, that nothing will destroy you. In other words, the enemy cannot get to your mind to try and destroy you, because God has set that guard over you, because you are of such great value in his sight. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful that God loves us so much that God will guard our hearts and our minds? And if you want that, then you're going to go on deeper with God. You're going to start to grow up from a child and become a son of God before him. And you will walk in these last days by faith. And this is where we're going to see, I believe, the greater works, as God is restoring the church back to apostolic faith. But we have to be guarded. Our minds and hearts have to be guarded. And the only way it's guarded is as he delivers us from these fears, anxieties, confusions, and all these things that so hinder the mind. And the only way you get delivered in this, brothers and sisters, is that he allows you to go through these trials in order to get that deliverance. So that you no longer are subject or listening to those growls of the enemy. Because all the lion can do is just simply make a noise. He is powerless over your life. So all he can do is just make a big noise. But fear will listen to that. But if you are set free, then you're no longer going to listen. You're no longer going to take heart anymore. You're not going to be influenced anymore by this, because you know what God's word says over you and over your life. Whatever you are going through. Can God do this? Why, of course he can. Don't try and understand how he's going to bring you to that level of faith and walk and consecration. I don't know, but all I know is he will do it, because he first loved us. And he has set a guard over you and me, because you are priceless in his sight. Therefore no weapon formed against you shall prosper, says the Lord. Heavenly Father, thank you again for exhorting us tonight. Thank you, Father, for answering those questions or things that we weren't quite sure about. Lord, you know how to unravel confusion. You know how to deliver us where there is fears and anxieties. You know how to set our feet upon that rock. Lord, we thank you for the deliverance tonight in this message. And Lord, we just simply look to you and trust you and believe. And we look each day by faith as we walk with you. And whatever trial, whatever befalls us, we know that we have overcome because you have overcome all things. And we know that faith comes by hearing the word of God. Lord, I pray you'll continue to remove those hindrances to the mind and to the heart. Father, make us a thankful people, thanking and praising you for so many, many things, for giving us life in Christ Jesus. Lord, we never stop thanking you. The same as Daniel, who sought you and thanked you and sought you three times a day. And Lord, how you delivered him from the lion's den, simply because he was had a grateful heart. That's what you're looking for in these last days. We have a grateful heart because we rejoice that God first loved us. It wasn't in us, Lord, but you've given us life in Christ Jesus. What a gift. It's the greatest gift ever given in the world. And therefore we have so much to thank you for. And Lord, we will begin to see the captives being set free. We will begin to see, Lord, these breakthroughs that we're looking for. Instead of griping and moaning and poor me and self-centered, inward-looking, getting released and being able to see the mighty hand of God, being able to see the kingdom of God and not the kingdom of self. Oh, Father, you came to set the captives free. And if the Son shall set you free, then you are free indeed, as your word says. So, Lord, do this in our lives, we ask, in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
So my worship and adore. Jesus is.